Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very kind. Because even when the living being is so preoccupied with the material energy, Krishna never turns away from the living being. In the Gita it says, Isvara Sarvabhutanam Ridesa Junitisati. Krishna says, the Iswara Sarvabhutanam, the controller of all living beings, Hridesa Arjuna Tisthati, is residing within the heart, O Arjuna, of the living being. So, when the living being turns from Krishna and comes to the material world, Krishna will never leave that living being. Krishna is always there. Deinusvinyata dehi komuram yovanam jara tata dehantara pratya dhirastatana muyati. Many bodies we have already passed through, even in this life. And also in the next life we will continue to pass on to other bodies, in previous lives. So many lifetimes, bahu janmanamante, after many, many lifetimes now, we have come to this point. Jnanavamam prabhadyante, the knowledge comes that there is a necessity to surrender to me and to understand that Vasudev Sarvam Iti, that he is everything, ultimately. And that all the other temporary requirements in this material world, they come, they go with each age. Today, in the car, we were reading. I was reading a lot. It was a long drive. And one philosopher said that at different stages of life, we'll naturally develop different types of philosophy. Said in childhood, there will be realism. Because the tendency will be to figure out what is reality. What is an apple, what is a pear, and what is me. So that is realism. Children are trying to figure out what is reality. They are focused on reality, realism. When they come to youth, that starts idealism. Because the youth, in youth we are looking at our future. We're looking at like, what do I want to become? And then of course we dream, I want to become so many things. Said, but then, in adulthood, becomes skepticism, because we did not become what we wanted to become. And we start to think, well, life is not exactly what I was dreaming about. Now I know, young man, now I know. Tell me all about it. I know what life is all about. Then skepticism comes in. Said, but then, in old age, one realizes that everything seems to be going on by a higher plan, like by a higher script, and that really man practically has no grip on the result of activities at all. It's an, and therefore in old age, naturally one is inclined towards mysticism. So we see how at different ages also a different philosophical mentality develops. It's interesting. It is interesting. There is truth in that. So we see that Krishna has it arranged. He has arranged life as a blueprint. Simply a blueprint to take us through and to, at the end, bring us to the point where we say, all right, this material world, it doesn't work anyway. And then we'll turn to him. Once I was in Germany and in the Cologne temple, and on the Sunday program they had a Russian clown from the state circus. Now Russian circus is amongst the best in the world. Russian and Chinese, they are the top in circus. So this Russian clown was very expert, and he was spinning balls around on his fingers and on his toes, four at the same time, and a fifth one with a stick on his nose. And it was, and he was making funny movements at the same time. So it was impressive. Everyone applauded very much. And then I was thinking, it was great, but what did it have to do with Krishna? I didn't know. So what is it doing in the temple on the Sunday feast? But anyway, Krishna Sama rather inspired me. And I was thinking, it is, we find ourselves in this life at the stream of opportunities. And when we're young, we take three or four and play with them and spin them around and so on. But then time moves along and no longer are we playful. We just take the good ones. Got it. Another one. Take it. Another good one. Grab it. Got it. Let no good opportunity go by. But then as age moves along, then every once in a while, they keep on coming at such a pace. It's hard to keep up, and sometimes you just have to let one go. Anyway, what a useless one anyway. One has to let go. What to do? And in the end, there were two old people sitting on a bench at the side of the stream of opportunities. And one said to the other one,
that was a good one.
So, again, the same dynamics in the material world. How gradually Krishna, he is, first we are small, and we're always too small. And you know the frustration. You can remember when you were too small for everything. Oh, you couldn't wait till you're finally big enough and finally, yes, let me do it. I can do it. No, you cannot. Yes, I can. No, you're too young. No, I can do it. Too young. Always too young. What a frustration. And then finally old enough, and then too old. It practically, old enough is very short. Yeah? It's either too young or too old, if you know what I mean. It's one of the two. It's always one of these two. So this is the situation in this material world. It is a blueprint. It is Krishna's arrangement. But we must be careful. Now that I'm on this theme of too young, too old, I have one more for you. A cartoon this time. And in this cartoon, the first picture shows a baby, and under the picture, the caption says, too young. Next picture shows a couple hand in hand, full moon behind. It says, too much in love. Next picture shows a family. She has four arms and shopping bags and babies and bottles, and he has Black & Decker drills and computers and phones and cars and things. And too busy. Next, an old man, deaf, too old. And the last, a cross on the grave, too late. So we must be careful in life. Careful that we don't make an excuse and say, oh, I'm too young for spiritual life, let me enjoy a little. But we never know. We never know. Prabhupada once asked someone in the audience to point at a young man, at an old man, sorry. So I need a volunteer. Is there any volunteer? You there, you are tall. Yes, yes. So can you please point at an old man? Don't point at me. Point at an old man. Just one. There are many, so it's not difficult. Just point. You have to cooperate. Just one. All right, there it is. Wrinkle, crinkle. Look at him. Over the hill, yeah. Almost pension age. But then Prabhupada turned around and he pointed at a 5-year-old boy and said, "No, he's an old man." You know, everyone looking said, "Yes, because he can die any moment. Anybody can die any moment. Therefore, everybody is an old man." One has to think like that. One kind of think, "Oh, I'm still young. There's still much to do. So much time I have on my hands. I'm going to play for a while. And then later, when I'm old, then I'll get very serious about spiritual life." Mm-mm. There's no guarantee. No guarantee. Yes, yesterday, just over at Govinda Valley, at Wollongong, we went to the beach somewhere, the Otford Beach, and there were so many people with these hang gliders, right, flying in the sky. And you just think, they think it's far out, and we think they're going to be birds. That's how it is. And Prabhupada used to look at the surfers in Hawaii who were surfing on the waves. And Prabhupada used to call them sufferers. He didn't call them surfers, he called them sufferers. He said, "They're suffering. Suffering. Well, you know, they're playing, yes, but they're not happy. They're not happy. They're just looking for some excitement in an empty life. And they need to fill it with bigger and bigger excitement. Because the ordinary excitement is not exciting enough. So let's do something far out, bungee jumping. Yes, all of us, next Sunday feast, we all go bungee jumping to get some new excitement in life." For a long time you have not chanted Hare Krishna, no problem. Bungee jumping will bring it back. It's true, as we go down, we will all chant like anything. If we go down... So, those who have problems with their rounds, the solution is bungee jumping. So, bungee jumping is... so many people do it. So many people, bungee jumping. Or jump from a plane and try and go free fall as far as possible. People at work, they do it, the whole group, team building, hand in hand, go down together. So, it all shows that people are no longer satisfied with the ordinary. Otherwise, why would you do such a thing? So, in this way, it shows that in this material world, we are simply trying to be satisfied, but actually we are not finding satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada says the material world is a desert. And in the desert there may be some water, but it is never enough to quench one's thirst. Get a few drops of water and then finished. Again thirsty. Still thirsty. There is also some reference to a brahmana. This brahmana was extremely hungry and he had no funds. He was living from begging. The poor brahmana. So he was going door to door. He was not getting anything. He's starving. So he decided that he would just go back from any house. And he came to the house of a Muslim. And he begged the Muslim for something to eat. And the Muslim gave him something. But it was very little, very little. And then the brahmana complained, "I've lost my caste and still hungry." He lost his caste and he was still hungry. So that is the material world. We all lose our caste. For the sake of enjoying the senses, we break the rules. We do the forbidden activity. Because the pushings of the senses are so strong. And in this way, we lose our caste, we lose our purity, and still hungry, still not satisfied. So this is a deep story, actually, because this is the nature of material life. we are not satisfied. Then we begin to contemplate forbidden activity. And then one breaks the rules. And then still not satisfied. So isn't that exactly what is the fate of the world? We can say that is the fate of the world. When the curtains are closed, then in the darkness of night, then so many sinful activities are going on, even by those who are otherwise acting pious. Because we are not satisfied. Everything in this world moves by taste. Without taste, how can we do something for a long time? For a little while. But if there's no taste, how long can we do it? No taste, very difficult. So this is the nature of material life. There's not enough taste to really be satisfied with what we have. Whatever taste we get from the things we have, we always need more. You see? We always need more. That is the nature of material life. With everything we have, not satisfied. Need more. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would sometimes make, that Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, would sometimes make strong statements. And one statement he made was, he said, even if a man would have all the women in the world, he would still not be satisfied. Hare Krishna. And then he said, that was for the men, and then he said for the ladies, he said, you've always known it. There is no man in this world who can satisfy a woman. You've always known it. Men are useless. Confirmed. So this is the situation in the material world. If we think that a man and a woman are going to create the ideal world and are going to be perfectly happy together, then we are dreaming. That's dreaming. There is an illusion, and this illusion I must destroy it today. I know it is cruel, but this is, as sannyasi, is our business. You know, there is this thought that everyone has his perfect match in this world somewhere. You know what I mean? Somewhere in this world, that perfect match is there. There is a prince somewhere. Or there is a princess somewhere, right? The perfect one. Just exactly, you know, our counterpole, the perfect match. I'm very sorry to tell you today, but that perfect match doesn't exist. When it comes to marriage, marriage doesn't work. I'm sorry to say it. Marriage doesn't work. You have to work for it. Then it will work. There's no marriage that will just work. I don't know about your marriage, but I was married for 24 years, so I have some experience. And it doesn't just work. But if you work for it, all right, then it sort of goes on all right. Isn't it? Just see. So this is the nature of the material world. In the material world, nothing is perfect. Everything, all right, if we try hard to adjust and so on, then we'll manage, and then it's all right, and we tolerate something, and so on. But it's never perfect. Perfect doesn't exist in the material world. Perfect exists only in the spiritual world, only in relation to Krishna. Therefore, only in relation to Krishna can one be satisfied. Vyavasyatmika buddhir ekeha kurinandana pausaki anantascha. It is said that when one is not Krishna conscious, then even if one has one thing in hand, one is still looking at other things. Still looking at other things. So therefore, one is many-branched. One looks at all opportunities. What I have is good, but I still need more. So want that also. But when one turns to Krishna, then one can leave everything and just focus on Krishna. And that's fully satisfied. One can just be focused on one thing. That is Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, the devotees may have all kinds of things, but they are not so attached to it. It's like, okay, a car. Yeah, you need a car in this world nowadays. Fine. But a car is not the great source of happiness. Maybe when it's brand new for the first week, it's fun. But then after a while, when the first bills start coming in, then that car becomes a big headache. See, this car cost me an arm and a leg. This car, so much work just for this car. I'm just working for my car, actually. It's a fact. People work for the house and work for the car. And what else? What the other things? That's the main thing. Main payments. So, we are seeing like this. So somehow or other, when we try to be a material success, then for a while we can be, and then it will again, then it will get out of control. That's the nature of the material world. Success for a while, and then suddenly it goes wrong. And in everyone's life, something goes wrong. It cannot be true, whatever it is. One man, I was in South Africa, one man brought a brand new Toyota, and it was a luxury model. He spent all his money on it, and then on the first day, it got stolen. And it was just too much for him. The first day it got stolen, and all that he had left of his brand new Toyota was the key. And every day, he would go on a parking lot, and just walk past all the Toyotas, you know, even the ones that had a different color, and, you know, and try and see if the key would work. See if maybe he could find this car. Never found it, but he kept on doing that because he couldn't digest it. Material world, huh? So you've heard of Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You've heard of that one? Yes. So in the material world, well, I saw one poster, since I'm telling optimistic stories. It was a poster. In this poster, there was a man working on a ladder on the outside of the house doing some repair work. And he slipped and he fell off the ladder. Meanwhile, someone had left the water in the bathtub on. And there was a waterfall coming down the staircase in the house. In the kitchen curtains had just caught fire. The children were also doing dangerous things, about to fall out of a window. There was a car that was driving through the garden fence, lost control of the steering wheel. There was a dog who was biting someone. And the whole poster kept on going like this, and it was a poster of an insurance company. And that was really... So that was sort of Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong in the material world. Yeah, maybe. Why? Why is it so that at least sometimes things go wrong? Why? Why is the world like that? Why it said, Matra sparsas tukuntiya sitasna sukadukada agama payinanichas tamtitiksava bharataha. It is said that in this material world there is happiness and distress. And one has to, there is just like the summer and winter season. And one just has to tolerate. One has to tolerate. Why? Why is it like that? Why are these things going on? Happiness and distress. Mm. It is because of Purna Musika Bhav. Purna Musika Bhav. Purna Musika Bhav means once upon a time there was a mouse. The mouse had a good life, but at the same time the mouse had some problems in life as well. One problem in particular, namely the cat. That was a big problem. So the mouse went to a yogi who had mystic power. And the yogi said, "Yes, what do you want?" The mouse said, "I want to be a cat." Yogi said, "Tatastu, so be it, you'll be a cat." Meow! The cat walked away, enjoyed. But, you know, cat life is also not always that ideal. And he found out soon that there are problems for cats as well, namely dogs. So he went back to the yogi, and the yogi said, "You're back again." He said, "Oh, this is no good. This cat situation, no good. Then what do you want?" "I want to be a dog." But the dog was going around the village into the jungle, and there were tigers. So, you know, the dog was not happy either, and the dog wanted to be a tiger. "Tatastu, so be it." Then the tiger looked at the yogi. The tiger looked at the yogi and licked his lips. And the yogi said, "Yes, what do you want now?" And the tiger said, "I want to eat you." "Yes, yes." And then the yogi said, "Be a mouse again. Purna Musika Bhav. Be a mouse again." Yeah? Then you become a mouse again. No?
You too.
So have you also gone through this in life? Have you also been a mouse again and again? Me, in my life, many times. Many times. When I was at the peak of my power, suddenly pulled down. "Okay, Krishna, I know. It's time to be a mouse again. I understood." Huh? This is what is going on in the material world. Because the material world is designed to make us humble. And with that, I'll tell one story, which I told in Sydney also, but most of you weren't there. This story is a story about a king a few hundred years ago in India. This king had a court pundit. And the kings used to entertain themselves with these court pundits, and the pundits would have to give the answer to any question. So one day the king had a question, and he says to the pundit, he says, "I thought of this question, and I really don't know the answer. Can you tell me what is the answer?" King said, "What is the daily work of God?" Pandit said, "That's easy. The creation, of course." No, the king said, "That he does one time. But what is the daily work of God?" So the pandit says, "It's an unusual question, actually. Huh? Such a question, I never heard that question before. Your Majesty, I'll have to consult the scripture." Now, the king was sometimes a bit moody, and when he was getting too moody, then he would cut heads. So the king was not acting in a friendly way, and the king said, "And you'd better have the answer within 1 week, or else." And "or else" was something that the pandit didn't like. So pandit went home, looked everywhere in the scriptures, in the Puranas, the Upanishads, everywhere he searched, couldn't find the answer. The week was almost over, and he decided that it was very important that he would visit that relative who hadn't been well for a long time, an emergency, and that he would leave town. So he was in the process of leaving town, and Then, just as he was on the edge of town, he came across one of his disciples. This disciple was actually a simple man. He was a cowherd. And he met this simple cowherd. And the cowherd said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, you are going." And, "Well, you know, things are getting out of hand. The king begins to act funny and, you know, threatening. And he has these questions which are impossible to answer." "Question is that?" He said, "Oh, the question is it's a very unusual question. You know, he's asking, what is the daily work of God?" "Oh," the coward said, "that's an easy question. That's easy. Oh, if you know the answer, then tell me." He said, "Well, no, maybe it's better if I tell the king directly." All right, the pundit said, "let us go." So they went to the court, came before the king. And the pundit said, "Your Majesty, your question is actually a very simple question. Therefore, I've asked my disciple to answer." Yes. And the king looked at him, you know, this cowherd, simple clothes. It's like, he's going to answer the question. And the pundit said, "Yes." The king said, "He better answer the question or..." Made a gesture and looked at the royal guard. So then the king said, "So?" Then the cowherd spoke and said, "Your Majesty, is it true that according to the Vedas, the one who is answering the question should sit higher than the one who is asking the question?" And the king looked at him and said, "What? What? You want to sit on the throne?" Said, "Well, what do the scriptures say?" So the king came down from his throne, and the cowherd sat down on the throne, and the king sat on the floor, and the king looked at the guard, and if he doesn't answer the question, you know, take his head off 3 times. Huh? Then the cowherd said, "Your Majesty, your question is already answered." Well, the king's blood pressure went up to way over 220. And just at that point, the cowherd said, "But I'll still explain it. The daily work of God is to pull down those who are proud and to elevate those who are humble." Yes. So, this is what is happening to us in this world. We think that it is a playground. We think that we are here to have nice arrangements to enjoy. But what is happening, we get all the nice arrangements and then, poof, something goes wrong. And then we are heartbroken. We are a mouse again. Mouse again. And again, we are pulled down from our pride. And again, we are a little humble. Puna musik abav, mouse again. And so many times in life, we become big, we become the cat, we become the dog. "I'm a tiger!" Yes. Wait a while, and you'll be a mouse again. And then, when we're a mouse again, then, in a moment of humility, then we're ready. Yes, we turn to God. Then we are turning to God. And then after a little while, we forget again. So in this way, Krishna, again and again, is actually teaching us in this world. And that is really what he's doing. He's elevating those who are humble and pulling down those who are proud. Well, okay. Any questions, any comments?
It says that there's no greater deception and self-deception. And sometimes when you hear stories like that, very simple, that Krishna elevates those who are humble and pulls down those who are proud, then in conditioned existence, I was thinking, oh, that applies to him or her or them, but not to me, because I am humble and they are proud.
Mm-hmm.
So, What is the remedy for switching it in the correct way?
Uh-huh. When we see a fault in others, then we must know that there is a fault in us. Because the great and pure devotees, they don't see any faults. It is said that the topmost devotees, they don't see faults in anybody. So as long as, when we are seeing faults in others, it means we are ourselves full of fault. Because a pure devotee sees everyone is somehow or other connected with Krishna, so it's all right. There's no fault. Everything is fine. But we are seeing faults everywhere. That is our fault. The fact that we see so many faults in others and that we cannot see any fault in ourselves. That is our very fault. It's very easy, you know, to write down 10 faults in somebody else. Very easy. Just look at someone and start writing. It comes quick. Now try to write 10 good qualities. A tree that's stuck, you know. Say what that. Yojadev, okay, he's a good actor, he's a nice guy. Two, I got away. He must be honest because he works in a bank. Like that, you know? I'm trying hard, you know? You have three. To get all the way to 10, you know? It's not easy. I would go the other way around, which I will not do. That would be easy, you know. 10 in no time. So that's the nature of our mind. You know, there was this story about a manager, and the manager, usually what managers do is they walk around all day and watch the people under them, and when somebody does something wrong, they shake their head and go like, how many times have I told you? Will you ever learn? You know, if I wasn't here, I don't know what would come of this place. You know, most managers do that. Catch people doing things wrong. That's their business. Sorry, you know, this is not right. That's not right. It's wrong, 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 wrong. This manager was different. He was catching people doing something right. It wasn't easy. But anyway, somehow or other, when he did, he'd just say, wow, you did that really nice. And then he would praise the person. And all the personnel started to like him a lot, and they started to perform much better. It worked amazingly well. So, that is the Vaishnava mentality. So we should praise others, and we should look at ourselves and think we are full of shortcomings. We should, whenever we see others, we should just find good qualities in them, catch them doing something right, so we can practice that. It's not easy, I know. Well, because the mind is envious, so the mind by nature is always thinking. When we see something else, we immediately think, strange. Strange person. Yeah. Everybody else is strange, right? Only our own face in the mirror looks normal. And everybody else looks strange, or something strange. You know? So in this way, our mind is always getting preoccupied with that. And that is our... But if we practice to find some good quality in people, but never praise ourselves, then everything will be adjusted. Like that. Other question? Yeah.
For a person who is practicing Krishna consciousness, it's not that you want to become boss again and again. Surely you're not. We want to.
You should become a mouse again and again.
Surely we're not. Aiming to become mouse again and again.
Yeah, but that's Krishna's plan anyway. Even for devotees, he does it to us also.
So, like, even if you want to not to be mouse again,
this
false skin coming up in us.
Yeah, it's very difficult to control pride. Pride is very strong. in us. And to be humble is very difficult. As soon as we are a little humble, then we become proud that we are humble. I've been so humble today. I mean, they were proud. So pride is so deep. So it's very difficult. So we don't only... First-class persons, they learn from hearing only. But second-class person, they hear and still they don't learn. So they only learn through experience. Third-class person, they hear, then they experience the trouble, and still they don't learn. Those are fools. But a devotee, most of us are second-class. Most of us, we learn through experience. So Krishna does sometimes do it to us also. Purna Musika Bhava, be a mouse again. I have also a few times in my life gone through that. Yeah, sometimes he takes things away. He takes everything away. Then all that we have left is Krishna. When everything is taken away, then all you have left is your Krishna consciousness. That's all you have. So sometimes Krishna does that. Not always, but sometimes when he sees, oh, we're getting so proud, then he does. And it's difficult. You know, I saw a beautiful four-wheel drive. One of these really expensive ones, belonging to a devotee, and on the number plate it said, "For you, Krishna." I said, yeah. Isn't it? You know, it's easy to put it on the number plate, but it's a little bit more difficult to live up to that. And in that way, we fool ourselves, right? Yeah, sometimes we use it for Krishna, but how much, but we're enjoying it for ourselves also a lot. So yeah, so even as devotees, sometimes we get quite entangled in material attachments and so on. Then maybe that Purna Musika Bhav can happen to us. I don't ask for it either. Vidyananda Maharaj tells how a young man went before the deities and passionately said to Krishna, "My Lord, please purify me." 20 years later, he came in front of the deities and he said, "My Lord, please purify me softly."
So people who fall down from Krishna consciousness after serving Krishna for many years, then like serving in Krishna consciousness for 20 years and working all that hard. So is that Krishna's plan too? When they fall down and do altogether things which are different?
No, it's not Krishna's plan. It is maybe our own weakness that we fall down, but at the same time, then Krishna may, on the way, give us some experience of suffering. I'll give you a graphic example. There was when I was temple president, there was a devotee who came and he wanted to leave Krishna consciousness, and he came and he told me. He said, I have enough of this. I'm going back in the world. I want to be like everyone else. Why can't we just enjoy a bit? You know, drink a bit, smoke a bit, and, you know, all these things. What's the difficulty? So I tried to convince him, but he left. And he forgot everything. He forgot everything for about a year. But then he was in India. And he was in South India at the Krishna River. And there he was sitting at the side of the river smoking. And just then a monkey came down from the mountain, went to the river, paid obeisances and put the water 3 times on the head. And suddenly he realized, I'm going to be a monkey like that. This monkey is a devotee, and he blew it. And now he became a monkey, and the same thing will happen to me. And it shocked him so much. that he came right back. So Krishna makes arrangements. When a devotee falls down, then Krishna will make arrangements to bring him back. He'll never leave us alone. But that is not Krishna. That is not be a mouse again. No, no, no. That is our own choice. But be a mouse again means when we become proud. I am now very advanced. I am now a very experienced devotee. We are only capable, right, of being the representative of Krishna if we're very careful about taking shelter. Like when we speak, we should think, not how am I going to impress people, but how am I going to say something authorized, something bona fide. That's the main thing. So like that, you know, pride comes in when we start to impress people. Then it's the mouse. Whether we fall down or not, that is our own misfortune and foolishness. But that's our misused independence, which we have. But Krishna will not leave us. He will make him right. Okay. I thank you very much. I have a box with CDs that we've made. And if anyone is interested after the lecture to purchase a CD, then we'll be outside. The proceeds will go to my African preaching. I'm doing projects in South Africa where I'm trying to help African devotees to start up new temples and preaching centers. We have now 3 preaching centers, and I want to open more because they're not so expensive to run. So gradually I want to open at least 50 of such preaching centers all over the country. Then start something else, maybe. So, if you're interested, then your help will be appreciated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.